Bia Alocha, Taku Pekas. The Bia Alocha, oh, thank you very much. You are very kind.
Sure, my name. Two hours of sleep, Chris. Two.
Hashem, excellent. So in Taku Pekas, there's a famous Magad Avram. The Magad Avram says, let's say a person in the middle of kiosk has to go to the washroom, otherwise known as the privy. So if a person has to go to the washroom, or the privy, or the bathroom, as you put it, so what happens? So he's massive, the little skiers. Paskins, the Magad Avraham, and he comes back, he has to start all over again. He gives other examples of Magad Avraham, not just the case of going to the bathroom, he gives examples of a person is hearing skier shofar, and suddenly in front of him there's excrement. Someone decided to deposit there, shall we say, their thing. So therefore, the Magad Avraham passes halacha, you have to once again, their load, I was about to say. But I run past it, you have to once again start the kiosk. Correct the Bialocha, correct the
Shabura. What situation does that happen?
Okay, that's not. the Mishnah Brura over there, the Bialocha, asked an obvious question. Namely, the question being, why is that so? Why should that be? It doesn't make any sense what the Magad Avraham said. He said you can't blow Shofar with Makam Matunach in a place that has excrement. Or a place that Rahman al Sun where there's Tzawa, Meraglayim, but for that matter, Shein Guf Alaki. According to Magad Avraham, you can't blow the Shofar. And the issue is, Mechatesi, you ever heard about such a thing? We know the Zalacha, what does Zalacha say? That what can you not do with Makam Tzawa, of a Makam Meraglayim, of a Makam Shein Guf Alaki? You can, number one, Dabi. Or you can't say different Torah. Those are two basic Alachas. Those are the Sugi of Abir Sambazan. You can't bench, you can't daven, you can't say divrei Torah, you can't say gemara, all of the shas. But mechatesi, you can't blow the shofar, ma keshe. That's what the Bialocha asked of this Magad Avraham. Excellent kasha. So what is the ineluctable maskana that want us to come to Sinai of Salvation?
It's part of
the shofar. Correct. That shofar is the kiyum atzvila. The mele, the person is blowing the shofar, the makam betunah, of the makam shein guf anaki, of the makam tzah, of the makam me'aglayim, the halacha is that undoes and undermines the entire keshe. But many, many such rayas, very fascinating rayas to show the connection between shofar and tefillah. Truth is not only from a halachic perspective, the shofar really to be contrasted with tefillah, but also philosophically. The very nature of the shofar, I have another raya that I think Rav Soloveitchik probably also brought. I imagine there's a ram. There's a very famous ram here. By the way, it's Kedai, when you learn a Sefer Rosh Hashanah, to learn it together, of course, with the ram and the rush. Those are the two Rishon we should learn. Besides the Ritva that hopefully you will have a chance to look into Midei Pam Mekam. So there's a din, and this is a very fascinating din, and the question is what's the basis for this halacha, and the Ran actually provides us with the basis for this din. The Ran is a very fascinating finish. Let's say a person goes ahead, and you take the shofar, and you turn it upside down. Instead of blowing the shofar from the small end, you decide to blow the shofar from the wide end. Okay, that would be also quite a feat, depending on the width of the shofar. Assuming you have a shofar that's rather wide at the other end, so it makes it somewhat difficult to blow. Let's assume it's possible to get that wide end into my mouth and to blow the shofar. So would I be able to be yotzei with that kesher? That's the question which is, in effect, raised by the rock. And how do we pass it to the halacha that you are not yotzei? Why not? Why should that be a problem? Actually, first it's a Gemara. And maybe we should see the Gemara first before we actually go ahead. If you have this... Here it is. And the Chazayim of the base, in the second white line, the Gemara says, "Hafcha v'taka bolo yotza." Person turns the shofar upside down and blows from the other side. You're not yotze. The Gemara has a drasha at the end of the day. It doesn't mean that you turn it over as a chaluk, as a shirt. You took the side that was katzar, and you were marking it, you expanded it. And you have a katzer, the sign that's wide. Gemara says, "My time is the Rav Masa." Then Rav Masa, Rav Raso, has to be Derech Rav Raso. It says, "Va'avarta shofar tzvua v'chodesh hashiri v'asa l'chodesh v'yom ha'kipurim tabiru shofar v'chol ha'atzikam." So the Gemara darshins in the word havara that this would not be called a proper kind of havara. But the Ran comes along, and the Ran says, "The reason why, if I blow from the other side, I'm not yotzei, because the pasuk says mi ma'amakim prasicha Hashem." You know, Ran? What does that pasuk, by the way, come to teach you? That pasuk. Mi ma'amakim prasicha Hashem. We're familiar with that pasuk. Kuflam al alf, until. Correct? What does that pasuk come to teach you? So Chazal used that pasuk basically. I'm looking for the Ran where exactly it is. I just don't see it right now, but trust me, that's what he says. The Ran quotes that pasuk. The reason why he cites that pasuk. That pasuk is the classic example that a person, when you daven, so how should a person go about and daven? And what should be the kasha of a person when a person davens? Obviously, one has to daven to Hashem. B'chol libo, b'chol nivchei nafsho, b'chol na'odo. That pasuk, obviously, is the pasuk which is classic. Bakasha, that's what it's telling you. Let's see if the Ran is found over here. Here it is. Baruch Hashem, we found it. On page 12, or Davos and Bebez, the Davi Aran. It's definitely here, on this page. That is the Magad Avraham quote that you just said. Magad Avraham says that that's where the Shiach Tzibur goes down. And many shuls actually are built in such a fashion that the Shiach Tzibur literally goes down. I don't know why. Oh, I quoted the wrong pasuk. Okay, but it's the same idea. Here I found it. On page 12, you see it? In the paragraph that begins Hayarach with Kitzel Kasher. In the last two lines of that paragraph, this is Yerushalmi Mashma, Ve'afilu lo hirchiv es hakotze v'kitzer es harochav, el shetoka b'tzav harochav lo yotza. Yerushalmi says, even if I blow from the tzav harochav, from the white side, I'm not yotze. V'tana yoy simona, min ha-meitza karosi ka. That's the pasuk I made. What does it mean, min ha-meitza? From the straits. S-T-R-A-I-T-S. Bein ha-mitzori. So that shows you also, that's a kiyum tefillah. Unbelievable. The other rise also to show the connection between shofar and tefillah, but the Rav wanted to essentially emplace this in this Gemara. And the Gemara says the reason why there's no problem in Kategan Asanega, because Kain will zikaru no give b'fnim nami. Yes?
How do we get from step to the tefillah step where is zikaru on step? Is it that the Gemara of shofar, that Gemara? And yes. This whole shibboleth is telling me that the shofar is not tefillah. Kevel is zikaron davening. How do we get to zikaron davening? Because
because the member shofar. Correct. The Gemara is saying that there's a that Gemara is a shibboleth writing to Rashi Shita. Even though the Ramban Yesad Rashi, the Ramban Chumash Yesad Rashi, Rashi holds that there's a organic connection between Malfiel Zikaron and shofar and Kiyah shofar based on that Gemara. Also based on Pesukim, the Gemara clearly connects the Amir of the Brachas, the Mouth of the Shevres, to the Yashayk. The Gemara says in the Farish that there's an organic connection, conceptual organic connection between the saying of Mouth of the Shevres and the Shofar.
The Shofar is the vehicle that takes.
Correct. The Shofar is the vehicle that heralds the idea. First of all, the way that Avsadi Gon writes, the Shofar is the instrument that's used to coronate a king. That if you blow the Shofar, you have all over Tanakh. Whenever a king was coronated, it was done through the Hamlachas HaMelech, was done through the Shofar. And not just the idea of Hamachas HaMelech, but Zichronis also is done through a shofar. Then you have psukim. Everything is based on psukim Tanakh. Uvameh the shofar shows you the organic connection between the two. So in fact, this connection, according to Rashi, is a din d'araisa. That's what Rashi Shita is. Even if it's against the Gemara, that's the problem. The Gemara says later on that the brachas of Malchios, Zichronis and Shofar, is only the Rabbanah. The Kiyas shofar d'araisa. But not the Amir Sabrachas. That's the Rabbanah. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand in a clear fashion. If we're saying that the Kiyas shofar is tefillah, so it's a shliach. I mean, it's the vehicle that takes the malchus. If it's a tefillah,
that's what it seems to be.
How's it working? If it's a tefillah, it's shofar is a tefillah with neasma. It's taking the malchus and zechonos with it.
Yeah, it's sort of bringing the malchus and zechonos, as it were, before Hashem is barach. But then the Rav wanted to place it into this Gemara. Kaden l'zikaron hu kibifnim dami. Since the idea is it's maskeh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael, Chusavos, and what have you, HaKadosh Yitzchak, so therefore, Ki'ilu, all this is taking place before night 15. By the way, I don't think this is Pshat in the Gemara. It's a real in the lamp post. But I'm just telling you what I heard from the Rav many, many times.
Yeah, and a regular Tefillah is not Ki'ilu, only a Tefillah that has to do with Zikaron.
Correct. That's exactly correct. Now, the regular Tefillah does not necessarily have the Koach. We see that from many, many Gemaras. That the Gemara says that to most, the person, the Gemara in the Babitzir, the fourth pair, the person does it most, also the Gemara in Brachos, that it has the koach to be choder to penetrate the mechitza shel bazel. The Gemara says, "Miyom shachavis hamidosh is the mechitza shel bazel that's massive between Yisrael and Yisrael Shemayim." So, stam tefillah is not able to penetrate the mechitza shel bazel. Dafka tefillah with demos, and the shofar is likened to a tefillah with demos. The shofar is a koach adir. That's what the Baal Tanya. That's what they're all writing about the koach shofar.
What is this idea of tefillah zikaron?
No, zikaron just means that we can directly approach Hashem. He remembers what the Klal Yisrael were ready to do B'meshach HaDeres, just like Yitzchak was ready Laku L'satzim Agav HaMizbeach B'Sirus Nefesh, so too Klal Yisrael are ready to engage in acts of B'Sirus Nefesh, and that is in effect the Zikaron that the Shofar is being Malah, and that's Skill of Nidomi. It's as if he broke that outer Masach, the outer wall that in effect separates between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is able to penetrate. That's exactly what the idea of Shofar is. Shofar is likened to Tefillah D'mos. That's what the Baal Tanya calls it, kol b'li dibur, without any verbal utterance, without words. It's a call, it's a shriek of an animal in pain. And that's what shofar is. I think the idea is the correct idea, but quite not that you need to ask
someone. Right?
What's the problem? What's the problem? Why can't
so anytime I can feel it out, it's your car, I say, please answer me because remember, okay, it's
we do that all the time. We do, but especially in Rosh Hashanah, it has more significance than it has in the course of the year. We say the Pashas Arkeid every day for that reason. But Rosh Hashanah, because it took place then, and this is a propitious time, we know in general that this man of Elul, specifically Rosh Hashanah, is more mesugal that Hashem should be shomer tefillah than it is kol Hashanah kula. Idea shofar, that's exactly what is accomplished. Okay, I'm just reviewing it. I said yesterday, adding a few more rayas. So that's what you said.
So that's what we're supposed to be thinking when we daven, that please answer my tefillah because of what we were willing to do in the past.
Yeah, and also we not just in the past, but this is of course an ongoing obligation that Klal Yisrael devolves upon us, right, to be ready to be Mesa Nefesh. Just as Yitzchak was Masa Nafsho, so too. I mean that's what all Zichronis is all about. Uzchala Hashem Elokeinu, Esabris, Esachesan, Ashur, Sheshbab, Elohim, Rav, Ria, Esakeinu, Shok, Esitzel, Belagav, Emizbeach, he was like Yer Esatzvo, and the Rav used to say that Akeinu Esitzel, from there we learn now the concept of the Sirus Nefesh. That a Jew has to be ready to give up his life. We know for three Averis, the Mechuz give up our lives. Correct? The Gila Rashi was the Mavir Zor. But the whole concept of his Masus and his Batlus and the Sirus Nefesh comes from Akeinu Esitzel. That's the model, that's the marker for the idea of I'm a serious touch, yeah.
If you don't have a tefillah in mouth, then like what's the point of it?
Because every tefillah, Hashem, shall we say, certainly hears what a person says. But the more kavanah a person can muster, the more kavanah that can be attended upon my tefillah, the greater likelihood of the tefillah not just being heard by Hashem. He said, Baruch Atah Hashem shomea tefillah. Doesn't mean mekabel tefillah. That's what obviously we would like. Hashem is shomea. He hears our tefillah. He says it's mekabel. He says he's ready to actually implement whatever request we ask of him. But certainly, there are different levels. There are madregos and tefillah. And the more kavanah a person can muster, obviously, the greater the effectiveness of the tefillah. And the shofar is a very powerful tefillah, especially during this period of time. Because he brought described in the Medrash as Melech HaSadeh, a king in the field. The king was available. Kashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu eilah, says the Chazal, also Gemara Shoshana. Chazal said that Hashem Elokeinu b'chol kareinu eilah are the 10 days between when and when? Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. If you remember that, Chazal tell us that even the Parsha in Shmuel, with whom? With Naval. Do you remember that fellow? He wasn't too nice a fellow. He died in that 10 days. He died according to Chazal at the end of the 10 days. On Yom Kippur. You recall with David HaMelech? Naval HaKameli? Shmuel. Shmuel Al Perech HaFeh. So you have over there, Shmuel Al Perech HaFeh, this idea of Naval HaKameli. He refused to be Makitov because David HaMelech had protected him. and his sheep and the like, he should have been makato. So he was liable to the death penalty, and then he treated David HaMelech with either he was a very good malchus according to many, or he simply was not makato. For whatever reason, he was deserving of the death penalty. Anyway, he was given a 10-day grace period to go ahead and do tshuva. When is this 10-day grace period? Chazal learned out that after it's between Hashem and Kippur, and after 10 days, Vayigo Hashem is Nama, that he was smitten directly by Hashem is Barach. Anyway, the 10-day period is a period where Chazal, the Rambam, also the Rambam has his own tshuva. He tells us there are three periods of time where a Jew can do tshuva. Kol Shana Kula. Next, when is the second period of time? B'chayi Shalom. And then third period of time, on Yom Kippur itself. It's a separate Bazunda Mitzvah Tshuva, according to the Rambam, on Yom Kippur. Similarly, Rabbi Yehuda also has a similar Shita, a separate Mitzvah Tshuva Dafka on Yom Kippur. Whatever the case is, these manim are mesugo for a Jew to do tshuva, but every tefillah Hashem hears doesn't mean he's going to implement it. They carry out that tefillah. They have different levels of tefillah.
Well, it seems like he'll never carry it out because of us.
There's a story about this Nachshon Vaksman, Hashem Yinkom Dabo, when I came to Eretz Yisrael 15 years ago. Almost 16 years ago now. And he was taken by these terrorists. And we all were spalfing. And then they killed him on Friday night. We were on Thursday night, we went to Kessel Maravi to be spalfing, literally all Kaisel. There were tens of thousands of people there. And then they asked his mother and father what happened to all these fellows. So the answer was, sometimes the father says no. Sometimes he does not always become lots of fellows. That's also a Muna that we have. That's the difference between a Goy and a Jew. That's according to Chazal. This is mentioned in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. I mentioned this many, many times. So Rashi in Tanakh, found three times in Tanakh. Rashi in Malachim Al Perechess, Rashi in Chumash, and Rashi in Divya Yomim says this is so. Namely, that a guy comes to the Malachim Abidosh, he expects Hashem to answer his tefillos. If he doesn't answer, he kicks. He rebels, he rejects. The whole thing is a travesty, a sham. Now, Hashem, the Jew, realizes that probably the reason why Hashem didn't accept my tefillos is because there's something, shall we say, which is not in order with me. He sees the problem as being himself, as opposed to being Hashem Yisrach. Rashi Tanakh says that three times. It's a very beautiful Yisod, a very important Yisod. Okay, I'm going further into Gemara. We had gotten up to the little Agada. I'm going to try to go through this quickly, because I'm not so interested in the Agada. I'm more interested in the, shall we say, in the part that follows. The Gemara says, My mashma da hayyogla, lisha da dichrahu, Tanya, you went through this, I assume. Amar Bekiva, shalachti da avia, avia is Arabia, ayukar da dichra yogla. And Aya was called by the name of Yogla. That's why Aya was called Yogla. A little strange over here, this Gemara. There's a famous Shlach Kodesh that actually points out, you know the Shlach Kodesh?
Zoskever.
What? Zoskever. Zoskever
in Poland.
Zoskever. Where's Zoskever
in Poland?
Zoskever. Oh, no. Zoskever
is there.
The Shlach is next to the Ramah. Where is he? Isn't
he
next to the Ramah? Where's the Shlach Kodesh?
I think
so. The
Shlach
is in Tzfat.
Next to
the Ramah. I'm sorry. The Shlach Kodesh is in Tzfat.
Next to the Ramah.
Next to the Ramah. Thank you. The Shlach is next to the Ramah. That's right. That's where his Zoskever is. Anyway, the Shlach Kodesh is a famous saying called Shiluchos Abris. This is why it's called the Shlach. The Shlach has at one point, I think he has it in the Rosh of Shabbos HaGadol, in the section of Matzah Shira. So the Shlach has a very fascinating discussion, and he points out that the Kimad, you don't have any Rosh which doesn't have some letters from Lashon HaKodesh. He gives an example of the Gemara Melachos, Rashi quotes in the Chumash, namely, V'ayilu Totavos Ben Yenecha. Remember that Rashi? David, what does that Rashi say over there? Tatva Kaspi Shtayim. Tatva Afriki Shtayim. So Rashi tells you about the African language and the Caspian language. That's what Rashi says. And the question is, what we have in our Torah, language which comes from the Goyim? Is that possible? That's what the Shlach Kodesh asks. How is that possible to have such a thing? So he says, no. These are Teiros B'Lashon HaKodesh that became Me'ura Ben HaGoyim. That's what he said, the Shlach Kodesh. But the truth is, the Gemara Megillah, who got Megillah over here? Of course, of the last, everyone busy learning Megillah. So the Gemara Megillah by the Gas Radusa. Remember that Gemara? You got Sardusa, which is the Pasuk in Chumash also. It's also Aramaic. Correct? You have an Aramaic term that's found actually in the Chumash itself. Anyway, he claims that these are words with the Lashon HaKodesh that became Me'ura Ben HaGoyim. That's the Shlach Kodesh. And obviously, the academic world doesn't agree with that. They have their own take on the matter. I'm not getting into a discussion of it right now. It doesn't interest me. If you want a separate discussion, privately, perhaps. Okay, I continue. The Gemara says, "Amr Avikiva, Shalachti the Galdi, how you come to the Nido Galmuda, my Galmuda, Gemuda Dami Bayla." It's pretty obvious that a woman who's a Nido is separated from her husband. Bisman Chazal, the separation of a woman who was menstruating, was literally, she was quarantined, isolated. There's Ramban, which is a very, very strange Ramban. Ramban the Chidushim and Shas. Ramban is Perish al Atera. He has the notion that somehow a woman who's in Nida emits certain kind of poisons. That to be in her, shall we say, endurance is something which is absolutely unconscionable. Nope. Oh, Rabbi Kiva. Sha'afi the African, by your current Amar Sita. Amar is a kind of coin. They call it Sita Lamayna Fimina in order to explain this puzzle. Makes Sita the Aisa Meyadanti. Oh, my Rabbi, Shalakin Krochayam, Kiva. Lamayna Fimina, Kushe, Asher Karisida. How do you translate this puzzle? Asher Karisida, the Aristinan, Shaman Kibraini. Who said this? That Yosef said the power, if you remember. What does the word Asher Karisida mean?
What?
So the both translations are actually correct. The word kara could either mean to dig, in the sense of burying, but the Rashi in Chumash, has Rashi in Chumash translated? Well, you translate it, to buy, correct, to purchase, and that's what the Gemara here is referring to. The kala ninfi might call you, pay nof, har nof, the says kalorets. Well, tanigal sechvi, omer abidam rabbi, but he said, Rashi in Chumash, might call means shas, batuch, ostakma, famous pasuk in Iyov. Is the reason why Asher Nasan La Sechvi Bino. What does Sechvi mean? Two translations of Sechvi, according to many Mepharshim. Most Mepharshim. We say in the morning. First Bracha, Asher Nasan, Hashem gave La Sechvi Bino. Gave the Sechvi Bino. What does Sechvi refer to? Either heart, correct, that's one translation. Or the other translation is Tanigal, 100%. Those are the two translations. There's a famous piece I think I saw years ago of Yaakov Emden, as in his Siddur. You ever heard of Yaakov Emden? The son of Chacham Tzvi, the Roman Holland, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, his son. You're joking. Anyway, so they like to joke with me. Anyway, so Asher Nasan HaSechvi Bino, he discusses the word Sechvi, and he points out the word Sechvi is Tarnagol. Tarnagol, Tuf Reish. What does Tuf Reish mean in Aramaic? Tor, Atura, refers to an axe. Ashur, correct. And he says that it refers to the shore that's omeyed miyamin shalkisi akavah. It refers to midas agura, midas hadim. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but there are long arichas over there. A back of Emin Siddur is a siddur that's kedai to study carefully for many reasons. I can't get into it now. David, you probably studied that siddur at one point. It's not all Kabbalah. Some of it is Kabbalah, but there's a lot of very fascinating things he has over there. I'm not going to get into this whole issue. But anyway, the word Sechvi either means time ago or means Bino, as you pointed out. Asher Nasan Sechvi Bino, Laftim Yom Veloy. Rashi, I believe that Eov says that Sechvi refers to late. Why late? Sharoz Hanola. The heart can see the future. I go further. Bottom line. Late Ikla Luasu Asagav Lukamei. Amalei Kavon Vanya, Labi Yoda, Maikamalei. Also Shobek Midrasha, Amalei Gazla, Amalei Chapet. Sila Ikla Luasu. Fine. Then the Gemara tells three stories, and I'm not going to read them. I'll just mention that the Amos of the Rebbe, as you can see, was a very big Talmud Chacham. The Shifta of Rebbe, the Gemara describes her, the end of Tzubis. When Rebbe died, we have a very fascinating description how she brought about Rebbe's death, because there was a struggle going on between Malachim upstairs and people downstairs that didn't want to lose Rebbe. Rebbe Nanossi was the Golad Dor. And that struggle had to be somehow Mukhra. There had to be a decision regarding that struggle. She was involved in that struggle. I'm not getting to that right now. So the three or four words, the Gemara here, indicates that she was the one who essentially revealed their translation. The word Sirugin, what does it mean, Sirugin? The way the Gemara presents it over here. Alternately, the way one has to wash his hands in the morning, sirugin, that's lashon of the mishaburiyas, the pasuk brings. Second, the word chalaglogis refers to some sort of a spice or a yerek. Thirdly, the Gemara says the word salsalel, what does that mean? To twirl, as the person twirls hairs, the person also has to be mahapech, the matmoni ha-torah, to really delve into it in order to appreciate it. The word, as mentioned, metate, which by the way is a modern word, is a modern Hebrew. Refers to what metate is a broom to sweep away babel. That's what the Navi Shayel speaks about. The end of Dalit. And from the word Hashlecha Hashem Yahavcha, Lulichal Talacha. This is my father's Avos Shalom Hashem Yipasa. Hashlecha Hashem Yahavcha. Throw to Hashem your burden. Lulichal Talacha. He'll take care of you. which is this pasuk that Goyin says in Perash HaMishlei, that this pasuk actually is a very significant pasuk as far as the level of bitachon. At the highest of levels, a person has to completely, literally, throw himself into the hands of Hashem Yisbarach and rely on Hashem Yisbarach for, shall we say, for his ultimate source of security. Okay, I wanted to get to this Mishnah, that's why I moved over here. The Mishnah that goes on to say, Shem Shor Shoshanam, as we know, there's a mitzvah to blow, Shal Yol Pashut, a simple mountain goat, means not twisted, not bent, Upim Mitzupa Zoh. Now we have to discuss also what the nature of this halacha is, Pim Mitzupa Zoh. Rashi points out that where was the Pim Mitzupa Zoh? Only the shofar that's found where? In Migdash. Not the shofar that's found in Gula, not in Migdash, but only in Migdash. Ushtei Chatzotzim and Atzlodin. And the reason why the two chatzos were not studied, the Mepharshim explained, because the Gemara says in Yuma, when you have another goat walking, so where does he walk? He's surrounded by two people on either side, and where does he walk? The answer. So here also, the Shnei chatzos are not studied. They're on either side. What's in the middle? The shofar. Why? Because the mitzvah sanyam is dafka the shofar and Rosh Hashanah. That's the mitzvah. There's also a mitzvah to blow chatzos, but that's a secondary mitzvah. The primary mitzvah is what? The mitzvah to blow the shofar. That's the two chatzos are not studied. The shofar is the answer, similar to the Gemara Yuma that I just mentioned. Ubetaniyos, Mishalschar, and Kufin, Upiya, Mitzupa, Kesen. What about Anatainis? Again, Rashi explains here beautifully the distinction between the function of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. What's its primary function, says Rashi, on Rosh Hashanah? What's the primary function of a shofar? Rashi tells you the three different times of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Anatainis, and Yobel have three different functions. So on Rosh Hashanah, what's the function of a shofar? Tefillah, no question about it. On the Tagus, the function of the Shofar is?
It's Kenufya.
What's Kenufya mean? To gather together. Rashi quotes here the Pasuk in Baal Yisrael, you look on the Mikra Ha'idah. What does the word the Mikra mean? To gather. And by the way, I think I did tell you once, there's a Pasuk in Chumash. How does the Torah describe every Yom Tov? Every Yom Tov is called? Mikra Kodesh. Excellent. And the Ramban translates the word Mikra Kodesh unlike the Targum. The Targum translates Mikra Kodesh. How would you translate the word Mikra Kodesh, if I were to ask you? Mikra Kodesh refers to what? A happening. Correct? A day where some happening occurred. Mikra Kodesh, a Ruah, Shel Zman Shel Kodesh. That's how the Targum Pukulis translates it. And Genesis Muzia. How does Rabban translate Mikra Kodesh? A holy day of?
Gathering together.
Convocation. The Rabban translates a holy day of convocation. Rabban right there, Nemo. As you know that, one of his writings is this Pasuk. And Rashi quotes here. V'ha'yu chalav mikro ha'ega u'lemasa samachanos. Chatzotzes have two functions. One function of chatzotzes is the mikro ha'ega, to gather the people together. And one is when the machanos is supposed to travel, that's also a second function. So Rashi here, who quotes this pasuk, v'ha'yu chalav mikro ha'ega as lashon knufya, that's the function of Kiyas Shofar on the Titus. What about Yovel? Again, Yovel, the function is not knufya, and the function is not tefila, and not zikara, but rather two functions, says Rashi. One, Rashi over here, no?
Emancipation.
Emancipation, correct. Excellent. Proclamation of emancipation. Shiluach HaVodim. And two, Hashmatas Mechir HaSodos. Those are the two things that happen on Yovel. The HaVodim who were formerly incarcerated are now emancipated. And we also have the Shemitah. The Shemitah, as you know, on the Jubilee year, Hashmatas Mechir HaSodos. That's the Pasuk of Pesukim Mechumash. There are three different functions of Shofar, that's what Rashi is stressing. I go back to the Mishnah. Ubetaniyos v'shalschar u'kufin u'piyim etzuba kesen. The distinction between a tainis and Shofar Shoshana is when the pin metzuba zav, the Shofar that they used in the Mikdash of Shoshana was metzuba zav, means samach l'pin. We'll see about that later on in the Gemara as well. Near its mouth. It was samach l'pin, it was metzuba zav. And then again, you have the two chatzotzes min atzad. Why do you have chatzotzes in the Mikdash mitzad yimin, mitzad small, the shofar? The Gemara quotes the pasuk until in tzadiches. The chatzotzes are called shofar hariyu. L'tnei HaMelech Hashem. Where is the L'tnei HaMelech Hashem? The L'tnei HaMelech Hashem is only where? In Mikdash. Mikdash is called the L'tnei HaMelech Hashem. That's the translation of Mikdash. Mikdash is L'tnei HaMelech Hashem. Outside of Mikdash, there is no concept of the Amalek Hashem. Of course, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, up, down, all around, and the rest of it. However, Afei Halacha, the Amalek Hashem is not in Midrash. And there are many rights to this. You probably are familiar with the Shita of Rambam. I assume you are. How could that be? Anyway, the Rambam Shita happens to be, and it's a very fascinating Shita, that when the Pasuk says, by Lula, it says, Lukakta Mechem, by Yom Arisha, Priya Tzadak, Abbas Tamar, Anab Tzadak, Zyavi Nochal. But then it says, "Usmachem b'nei Hashem alokechem shivas yamim." You know the pasuk in Emor. So min haTorah, how many days are we obligated to take a lulav? Min haTorah, one day. Where is the lulav taken for all 7 days only? In Migdash. How do we know that? Because what does the pasuk say? Usmachem b'nei Hashem alokechem shivas yamim. The same pasuk the Gemara quotes over here that the Chatzos is called Shabbat. Really, the Melach Hashem right here. And Chazayim and Al. Look, you don't trust me. And Chazayim and Al. From the bottom of the page, count 10 lines up. Micro. The Gemara is explaining why we blow the chatzotzos in Shari Mitzvah, Harabayis, Omar Rabbah, Bitem Rishu, Malevi, Micro, Tuxib, the chatzotzos in Kol Shofar, Haril, and the Melech Hashem. The Bnei Melech Hashem would have been the chatzotzos in Kol Shofar, Abba Bialmalo. So what do you see in this Gemara? That in Migdash, what is Migdash called? How is it described by the Pasuk in Tehillim Tzadiches? Lifnei Amalach Hashem. That's when you require chatzetzes. But not bigvulin, because bigvulin is not called the Amalach Hashem. Even though Hashem is there, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. But the Amalach Hashem is dafka in Migdash. And that's what the Rambam Shitin is by Lulav, that since today we take the Lulav, Zekal and Migdash, all 7 days. That's takonim of the Zakai. So the Shitin of the Rambam is that even though I've already taken the Lulav, I've already fulfilled the lulav in Bet Shemesh. Now, if I go to Yerushalayim and I go ahead and take the lulav, I'm once again involved in a mitzvah. Question: would they make a bracha? Not make a bracha? That's a whole discussion among the Achrayim. But the fact is, why would I do take the lulav again? I already fulfilled the mitzvah. Because the Rambam Sheet is that Yerushalayim is considered to be part of Mikdash. Yerushalayim is a chelik of Mikdash. The Rambam says it 3 times. That's how we know that the Rambam holds this position. Yerushalayim is part of Mikdash.
So why do people go from, if they're in Yerushalayim, why do they go to the Kosel? Just because it's even closer?
That's not necessary, right. You want to go to the Kosel, that's fine, because you're closer. But as far as the Rambam Sheet is concerned, the Hanyulach, Yerushalayim is a chelik of Migdash, and therefore there's a kiyah mitzvah taking the lulav over and above Beit Shemesh, a kiyah mitzvah taking it in Yerushalayim as well, or as you say, by the area of the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, I'm back here in the Gemara. So it says, Pid mitzupe kesev shtei chatzotzos the emtza. And the time is, we also have 2 chatzotzos. Because if you recall, that there's another pasuk that tells us about chatzotzos bimei akaris. Namely, where is that pasuk to be found? In Chumash also. Everything's found in Bamidbar Yud. Namely, what does it say in Bamidbar Yud? That the blach chatzotzos also during a time of tzara. A tzara that comes upon the tzibur. You're supposed to blach chatzotzos. The pasuk says in Chumash that the chisavol mechama biyartzechem al hatzar hatzor eschem v'hariosem v'chatzotzos. So you see, chatzotzos is also related to what? To his man of tzor. That's also the time to blow chatzotzos. So that's what the Mishnah says here, that he also blow chatzotzos. However, on Taninos, he tells you that here the shofar mitkatzer v'chatzotzos marichos. Here the main instrument is what? Is the chatzotzos, shemit sayam v'chatzotzos, but that's the mitzvah of the day, that to blow chatzotzos based on the pasuk that I just told you. Then the Mishnah ends by saying Shabbat Yom Rosh Hashanah, that there's a there Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yovel regarding what? Kiyah and Bracha. What does that mean? What does that mean? That exactly the way we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, namely Bashuk, correct? So too, that's how we have to carry out on Yovel, or rather, I should say the other way around, that we let out, actually, we extrapolate from Yovel to Rosh Hashanah. Not only do we have a Kiyah, but also we got to be what? Brachas. What does it mean, brachas? That what brachas do we say on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel? Namely, we say, Malchios, Zechadus, and Shavu. The same brachas that we recite in Rosh Hashanah, we also recite in Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. And again, of course, we're going to combine the Malchios with the Kedush HaSayam, the way we combine it on Rosh Hashanah, so too, because it's fine in the Kippur Shal Yovel.
So you say it 3 times?
I'm sorry?
You say it 3 times, twice Rosh Hashanah, once in Yom Kippur, during Yovel?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But it doesn't seem so straightforward as the way the Rosh Hashanah put it.
Why not?
It seems like it's just saying that the process of the tzukiyah is the same on Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, but not necessarily the fact that it's, that it's pashut.
That's how the Gemara actually clearly interprets it like this, that Shabbat Yevu Rosh Hashanah, the Kiyos of the Brachos, means that if you're asking Ma Inyan Shemitah Tzatzinai, that's a good question. Ma Keshev Rosh Hashanah, the Yevu.
I mean, that's what the Tosfot.
Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, no connection whatsoever.
That's what the Tosfos problem is in the end.
Yeah, good, good. One second. 100% right. But there's no connection between the two, because again, the whole idea of the Shofar Sheyobel doesn't come for the same reason the Shofar Shofar Sheyobel comes. Shofar Shofar Sheyobel comes for what purpose? We said the Tefillah, the Zikaron. The Shofar Sheyobel, as Rashi say, comes for Shulach Avodim and Hashemach Tzachim Asodos. As my Kesher. But still, the halacha is because it's a hekesh. That's what the Gemara is going to say. Shabbat Yelo means it's a hekesh of Zer Shav, if you will. Chazal compared Shvi Shvi. Chazal compared the Tkiyas of Yovel to Tkiyas of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore they are Shabbat Leminyan HaTkiyas. As far as the number of Tkiyas. And they are Shabbat also regarding what? Amiras HaBrachas. Just like I was showing you say Tesh HaBrachas and you add Malvizim and the Shabbat. Correct? So to Yom Kippur Sheyobel, you say Malchus and Shofar, and again you also combine the bracha Malchus and the Sayyam. That's how the Gemara interprets this line in the Mishnah. Shabbat Yom Rosh Hashanah with Kippur and Brachas. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, he disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda rejects this Zera Shabbat. He says, no, that the Kippur Rosh Hashanah, how do we make that? We go ahead and make that the Eilim Kufin. That has to be Kufin. What does Kufin mean? Ben. Masha'en came, of course, in the case of Yovel. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bishal Ya'elin, there you use a Ya'el. And what is a Ya'el? Again, we said, a Ya'el is actually the way it was mentioned yesterday. Ya'el is what? Pashu. A mountain goat. What Rashi calls here Shtaimu. In other words, he does not learn out the Shofar of Yovel from the Shofar of Rosh Hashanah. That's what Rashi says over here. That's why Shofar Rosh Hashanah b'kufim and Shofar Yovel b'pshutim. That's how generally the Rishonim here learn Pshat in this. I just want to, again, I don't know if you learned the bottom faces. You seem to have learned that, Josh. You seem to have learned about the Tesis. You did. So because Tesis here at the very beginning, he says Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that Yovel is equal to Rosh Hashanah. See, he says, less than Rabbi Yehuda, Shavu Yovel Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't hold that. And that's why he says, Bahadabin and Shavu Rosh Hashanah. See, if that's the case, so how does he know that there's a mitzvah of Shavu and Rosh Hashanah? What's the makkah? It's not learned after Mitzvah Shavu and Yovel. So how's it learned that? Means, but rather, it says, "Lamishu yafinu b'yevel ki idach tana." The other bearing brassos, the one that the Talmud says in the Chizid, "Tikul achayis shofar v'kesel yom kageinu." Very strange pasuk.
It wasn't this one that I learned; it was the long one.
Oh, the long one I learned too. I'll get that in a moment. But I'm just saying, but this one, I'm just referring you to that which Rashi said. Rashi says, "Rabbi Yehuda does not learn out Rosh Hashanah yovel b'gzer shofar," and that's why one is kafuf and the other one is pashut. But Tosfos says that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that Shabbat HaYovel and Rosh Hashanah. And therefore he has to find the Mokar while he blows Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So he has a pasuk, which is a very strange pasuk that needs a lot of attention. Tikul b'chodesh Shofar HaKesel Yom Chagein. What is that pasuk talking about? There's a text in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if we got to it yet, but I assume we get to it very shortly. That, especially the face of your God. So there are texts, the famous texts, that is Kedai to examine carefully. But this pasuk is, I think many people say this pasuk, if I'm not mistaken, they say it on Rosh Hashanah before the daven Shmonesra. If the marriage is over, and the Afesim of Beis, the famous Taisis, Shachetik was Kasebo. The word Bakese, what does that mean? There are three different Shabbat that Taisis presents what the word Bakese means. Yes?
I have a question.
You have a question, but you're, is it related to what we're talking about?
It was
until you moved to it. Okay, go ahead.
Alright, if Rabbi Yehuda rejects the Gezer Shabbat totally, then...
According to Rashi.
Yeah, according to Rashi, does he hold that we don't say Malchus, Ochonis, and Shofros?
Okay, that's a very good question. That has to be examined. What Rabbi Yehuda Shita is, 100% right. That's a very valid question, no question about it. See, Tosfos here, on the bottom of the page, which you did not mind, so now I'm just mentioning it to you, Tosfos asks on this assumption that somehow Rabbi Yehuda will derive the mitzvah of blowing shofar from this pasuk, Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, doesn't actually ask on that, it proves that everyone has to learn how to blow shofar from Yehuda. As far as the minyan tkiyos, the number of tkiyos, and as far as Tosfos says, the issue of blowing by yom and hakalayla, and yet, why do we need the pasuk of Tikkun b'chodesh shofar, not blowing shofar? Because he learns out from chatzotos of the midbar that you have to have a tkiyah lefanel and a tkiyah l'acharel. This we have to look into. We have a sandwich. The sandwich is called Tzkiya, Trua, Tzkiya. Probably we don't know what Trua is. That's how we came to Shvarim and Trua, and Shvarim and Trua. What's that middle sound? That's not clear. But Tosfos says over here that we have to learn out from Rosh Hashanah, And that's why we have learned from the pasuk Tikkabach of the shofar. So even Rabbi Yehuda is low there, that shofar, yellow shofar, the fierce of the brothers, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that somehow, like, Rabbi, this Indian, you're not going to compare Yom to Rosh Hashanah. Because the reason of Rosh Hashanah Bikvufim is because Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin. And Askeda Sitzel, Yovel, has a totally different time. So therefore, the only thing you require in Yovel has to have a shame shofar. But nothing more than that. And that's why, okay, I'm not going to discuss the place right now, but I'm just mentioning that, but your question is a good question, Max. So we have to maybe look into it a little bit. I'm not so interested in this sugi right now. I'm more interested in the tesis, but I'm going to get to the ones I read the Gemara. I'm not baby. I want to read the bottom Gemara pretty quickly, because I want to get to the tesis here, which is very, my interest. I'm not baby. Mitzvah Shem Hashem Shem Kif B'Kufin, right, that we understand. And B'Shalkah Hashem B'Pshutin, Tainis and the like, you take a Shema that's not dead. V'asnat Shem 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 Yol Pashit, seems to be what, Stira to the Mishnah. So the answer is who knew he had Tanya. Holds like this Tanya. Tanya, you don't there. Rosh Hashanah, you told him to show Scharin Kufim, like Levi. Kufim. Who be able to show you, obviously, Levi, obvious. Ask the Gemara, but Levi, listen to Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't we say we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Levi should have said we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Why do you say, like a new opinion? Where it says, he, I'm going to listen to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm going to show you, he passed like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what I would have said. And therefore, you're talking about him shooting. So the Gemara said, "Kamashulon Levi, the Dapper Rosh Hashanah, Yom like Rabbi Yehuda." But the Kibbutz Shoyovel, the Halach is not pass like him. But even Shoyovel, what do you have to do? You also have to make Bikfufim because Shavah Hayovel Rosh Hashanah, Zer Shavah. The Gemara now explains what's the machlokes, and here's what I want to start discussing. Michael Efebi, Masal Rosh Hashanah, Kama the Kaivinish, Daitit Fei Mali. We have Kibbutz Kama the Poshinish, Daitit Fei Mali. Rosh Hashanah should be kafuf, and Kibbutz should be pashit. Masa, the Tanakhama says, Rosh Hashanah kama de pashit, inish daik bitzvei mali. Rosh Hashanah, he says, pashit. Ubetaniyas kama de kai, inish daik bitzvei mali. So Rashi here, by the way, this Rashi is another raya to our Solvejic thesis. Among the 10 rayas that I'm bringing, this is another raya. Namely, Rashi says here, what's the argument? So how does Rashi explain the argument? Rashi quotes two sets of psukim. One pasuk says what? That in tefillah, where should a person's eyes be? Down. Kvushin v'aretz. And Rashi calls the pasuk in Malachim. V'hayu einai v'livi sham kal yamin. That's why Rosh Hashanah, which is primarily focused on tefillah, akeinas yitzlag, we need a shofar, that's kafuf. Yovel, which is what? Dror. What does dror mean? Like the Gemara says, the Shabbos, tzipa dror, shayim kapha maris. Like many of the people here. Means we're talking about a tzipa dror. What's a tzipa dror? A bird that refuses to accept authority. I understand the analogy. Anyway, Ketzipa Dror Shein Mekabel Moros. Moros means the Moros of the Torah, Moros of Rabbeim, Moros of our parents, Moros of Hashem Yisbarach, all types of Moros. Whatever the case is. So Rashi says, that's different. That's one shot. But then the other one says the opposite. The other one says, no. Kama the Poshit. That's very odd. Why is it better? Because another Poshit. Nisal Rabbeim El Kapayim El Kiyam HaShemayim. So I assume you're aware of the Machlokes that the Gemara has in Yevamos. This is the subject of the Machlokes in Yevamos and Akufei of the days. One of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. The Gemara discusses basically when a person davens, what should be my posture during tefillah. So the Gemara quotes, guess what? These two psukim. And the Gemara quotes these two psukim. One says that ain't of a matter. That an eye should be where? Should be down. And which pasuk does the Gemara quote? The pasuk that Rashi quotes, V'ayu ain't I believe Yisham Kol Yomim. And the other one says, no. Where should my eyes be? Lamala. What does that mean, Lamala? So, how do we pass the halacha? The Gemara says, we pass the ein levata, believe levala. My eyes should be down. I should be looking down, but my heart should be where? Soaring upwards, heavily, in order to make a bold sukkah. That's how we pass the halacha. And this machlok is between the two maniyamas over there. So, the question is, what is the machlok is between them? So, there are different approaches. But I will tell you what I have no doubt, even for a second, what Asalajis of Ender Racha would say is Machlagis. I don't believe I heard this from him, but it's partial to me. The answer is Tzvedin. That tefillah is a dialectic. And that Rabbi Kotzke Rebbe said, because every person has two pockets. Why do we have two pockets? In one pocket it's written, V'alofi Opa Va'eva. I am worthless. I am dust of the earth. I essentially have no value. A human being is a wretched person. Kol ha'adam kozeh, it says in the pasuk in Hallel. Shlomo HaMelech says in Tehillim, we are liars, we are prevaricators, we are scheming. greedy, full of avarice types. We are manipulative. That is one aspect of human being. But there's another pocket. What does it say? The other pocket? Tilum Ches. It says in Tilum Perakes, Hashem made a person, a human being, a little bit less than God. A person can rise to incredible heights. A person has the ability to ascend to such lofty, majestic heights. He can literally be potentially, the Rambam writes, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, not in the Nebuah, but still could be like Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of carrying out my potential. So these are two sides of the coin. These are the two pockets that human being possesses. I believe these two psukim reflect that duality, that dialectic. On the one hand, the pasuk says, "Volume ain't like the leafy shrub down. My eyes should be down because of the fact it reflects the, as I said, the nihility of man. Reflects the worthlessness, the wretchedness of man. On the other hand, the other pasuk, Nisol el gabayin el kevashamayim. That's a totally different pasuk. You hear what I'm saying? This is, I believe, the machlok is not. The question as far as the Shani and Kippur. So here you can see going in the other direction. Here, obviously, there's a room to argue what exactly is the posture of a Jew on Rosh Hashanah, what's the posture of a Jew on Yom Kippur. I can argue in either direction. Namely, I can tell you the following. As you know, what is not found in our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah that should be found, but is not found? What is omitted? A major, what? Excellent. Vidur is not found. Machlok. And even though Vidur itself, I think I told you once, Rasvalechi pointed out very beautifully. When he was in Poland, how did they say Vidur with one kind of a niggin? It's to say with tears, with krechtsin. Krechtsin, they said krecht. I'm sorry?
You said that?
The Rav, Zechen Nebracha, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Mori Barabi. However, the Rav said that when he came to Berlin, how did they say Vidur? Like a triumphant march. So he asked, how is it possible? How could it be both krechtsin, crying, tears, and a triumphant march? Tell us his, Svedinim. That Vidui also has two aspects to it. The two aspects that we spoke about. On the one hand, Vidui reflects the, shall we say, nihility of man, and the fact that man is wretched and manipulative and dust and dirt. On the other hand, Vidui also represents the ability of a person to rise to incredible heights. So he did it. Exactly the same halacha that I just said a moment ago. So now, let's look at Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. On the one hand, Rosh Hashanah, there's no Vidui. Why not? Because Rosh Hashanah, how do we appear? We are crowning the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'yitnu l'cha kesem melucha. But in effect, giving Hashem, we are coronated the Almighty. The night of coronation. The Rav said over that he was in the Cheder and Chasavich on Abba Shishot when he was 5 years old. And the Rebbe would ask the Talmidim, what's exactly happening in Rosh Hashanah? And they would answer, my father promised me a new pair of shoes. They were very poor. They were peddlers and what have you. And the Rebbe said, no, that's not what's happening in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah would crown him the king. The night of incarnation, when Hashem is being proclaimed Melech al kol olam kula. That's what's happening in Rosh Hashanah. Correct? Melech al kol olam. That's the yisod of Malchus. The yisod of the Dusay of Rosh Hashanah is Dafa Malchus. Anyway, so we can see Rosh Hashanah represents that aspect. Yom Kippur, we can understand that a person has to be kofuf and Pana pushim la'aretz. You can see the distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur that night. On the other hand, you can say, "Oh, fuck yeah! Okay, I can argue either way. I can bring a raya this way, that way." But that's not what I'm interested in. I'm interested in this tesis. Tesis here, Shalyol Poshet asks a stira, an outright stira, which is a stira of two mishnayos. What's the stira of the two mishnayos? No, one mishnah says what?
At anything except for para.
Yeah, the mishnah pretty clear. I'm above and out. And yet, what does this Mishnah say over here? Shevus Rosh Hashanah, Shayol Pasha. So it takes its hands, two Mahalkim, had it in the Yashay just here. What are the two Mahalkim? Do we understand the Mishnah as referring to this din of Yol Pasha, a din of Chachila? But at the end, the first Mishnah is relevant. The Mishnah Chabad, is talking about Chachila. The Chachila, Shevus Rosh Hashanah, Shayol Pasha. But at the end, that's one way of learning chat. Or the second shot is that what? That kofuf is not even b'di'emet. That shayver kofuf that has to be bent is not even b'di'emet. This same machlokes, by the way, is machlokes the Rambam and the Raivit. In Paragalf of the Shayver, the same argument that takes the 2 days, I'm not reading it for you because I see the time is ticking away. Did you read the sentences? Good. So I'm not telling you any tradition.
I don't understand the end though.
Okay, I'll read it for you. Leave that. But I'm not concerned about the end right now. I'm still in the middle.
But he still has a problem.
One second. But let's first get the basic issue Namely, is the Mishnah on Chavav and Alf lechatchila, and the Mishnah, I'd rather Chavav and Beis lechatchila, the Mishnah on Chavav and Alf b'di'evet. And as I said, this is Machlokes the Rambam and the Ravid. And obviously, the second day of Tosfos here, and also happens to be the position of the Rambam, that Kofif and Pashut is Ma'aki even b'di'evet. So the assumption, of course, by the way, this is another Raya that Rashi actually wanted to bring. Now, what is the Shitas of Rambam? If you hold that Kofif is Ma'aki even b'di'evet, what does that show you, said the Rav? That what is showing for a kiyamin basically? That min ha-terah, it's a kiyamin tefillah. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, kama b'kofuf, inish daiti tfei mali. Better to be kofuf. And that's where the Rav wanted to bring a raya from the Rambam Shita, like Tesis, the second day of Tesis. That's ma'ake, even with the Eved. The kofuf, why should kofuf be ma'ake with the Eved? But that's no raya to me. Because Pashu is also did in tefillah. Rashi quotes another Pashu. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Although the assumption of Rav Soloveitchik was clearly that Kofuf is more a Pashur Tefillah than Pashur. But I tell you there are two approaches of a human being to Hashem Yisbarach. One approach is that of a bent individual, correct? One who is, shall we say, broken and recognizes his wretchedness and recognizes, shall we say, the fact that he is worthless and the fact that he has nothing to contribute. On the other hand, there's also the approach of a person on Kashmir. We approach Hashem as an individual of great dignity and great majesty, someone who has the capacity and the capability and the potential of rising up in life. That's also Kiyam and Tfilah. And I thought those are the two Biduyim, the two different Nigudim that we're seeing in Biduy. I mean, I don't see the Nigud of the triumphant march that Rasulullah spoke about from Berlin that he saw. But these are Tzvei Gidim and Biduy that express also reflect the same two, shall we say, approaches, the dialectic, again, the same dialectic duality, we see, okay, but now, let's go back to the end of this, since you want to read that. But these are 2 days in Tesis. Also, the Chosin Rambam Ravid, now I should just read you for one moment this Rambam Ravid, it's a very famous one. And you know the Rambam Ravid? Are you familiar with it? Maybe you never saw it. Let me just read it. I only know because it's a paragraph of the Shefa. Hala hala. Or as I find would be familiar with it. But anyway, it says here, the same 2 days of taste is right over here. Pasen Rama Paragabo Ha'alev, she tells you, Mitzas Hasei Shal Torah, Vishmoa Tuas HaShofa, Rosh Hashanah Shinema Yom Tua Yelachem, Vishofa Shetogubo Ben Rosh Hashanah Ben Yovel, Hu Keren HaKvosin HaKofuf. So the Rambam says that both on Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel, what kind of shovel do I blow? Kofuf. Mashmah from the Rambam that even with the Kol HaShofar Psulim puts in Keren HaKeves. I doesn't say anything in the Torah about Tfrua B'Shovel Rosh Hashanah. It says it by Yovel. And therefore we learn now whatever applies to one applies to the other. Omer Avram, he frees Amidoso. The Rambam lost it. He exaggerated, he got carried away. Elo mitzvah b'kfufim. What does the Rashi say? Lechatchila, the mitzvah is b'kfufim. V'im taka b'shal yoel, yatza. So the Rashi clearly interprets the Mishnah the way the first day in Tesis interprets it as well.
So,
how does Rambam explain
the first Mishnah?
So, you tell me. I'm happy you asked that question. What does Rambam do in the first Mishnah?
Yeah. Oh,
the answer is?
It's just discussing which kind of shofars are kosher in general. Because it's more than just, you don't just blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you also need to know, like, what. Yeah.
What is called a shofar? Definition. First, Mishnah simply provides a definition.
Okay, fine. So now the end of Tosfos, how does he say.
Okay, so let's read the Tesis now. So the Tesis, the second day, it starts from where? Let's read the middle of the Tesis. It says the old Mashma. You see what it says, the old Mashma? After the Pasuk Vayikra Chatei. Yod Mashma, the Punta, the Abana, the Abana, the Atzman, the Punta, the Abana, the Atzman. Two separate issues. The Lachon, the Punta, the Atzman, the Lachon, the Atzman, the Lachon, the Punta, the Tanakam, the Kuluk Shem, the Nashan, the Kibbe, the Tanya, the Shopar. And yes, the Emrah Shopar, the Idach, the Abana, the Rosh Hashanah, the Kibbe, the Shalyah, the Tanya, the Shalsar, the Lav Yehuda, the Rosh Hashanah, the Shalyah, the Miyu, the Tzad Kasha. The Rav Levi, the Abana, the Mitzvah, the Rosh Hashanah, the Kibbe, the Haim, the Shalyah, the Shalyah, Zemi Zemi Shri Shri. Because Rabbi Levi said that mitzvah, that's how Levi began, mitzvah b'kufin, and that's Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and Kol Hashanah Taniyot and Pshutin. So where did he learn it out from? From the Gzera Shoma. Can I mean the paragraph of Amadala? Because it's not showing how to show with Giyavi, Abatam and Shumitza Ba'alma. Can I mean if the time is only Shumitza, that means the time of the Kabbalah is by Yogin, and the Dr. Rosh Hashanah. That makes sense of Rosh Hashanah, Shatkiel, the Tfilah is a Gar. Abu Yovel, and you're not Kiel, the Sivish, the Chabad, the Mashmah, the Sivish, the Bible. That's the Kasha I asked him. He's like, my Yishrit is not seen that. So what is the answer of the Kabbalah? He literally tells there that the Yerzi Yel of the Kofel. Pirish, did Sarah for the Yel's Kofel. Eloi Loi, means it has to be coupled. And if not, we got me the other one there. You're not there from there. So, what? So
those last three words.
Yes, that's the answer to the question.
That's what I'm saying. How are you allowed to derive Yovel, the fact that it has to be coupled for Yovel from Rosh Hashanah? If you said that the mitzvah is specifically for Rosh Hashanah, that it's coupled.
Yeah, well, how do you answer the kasha? That's what they're asking. That's like the end of the kasha. That's a good kasha.
Right.
Excellent kasha. How's the answer?
He doesn't.
Mechuri doesn't, is correct. So Mashmalai says he doesn't answer the kasha. How could that be? If Pashit is, if Kapha is Ma'akev.
I was thinking that maybe it's just like a, it's still a Gzera Shavah, but it's like a weak Gzera Shavah. Because even though it's specific to Rosh Hashanah, there's still a Gzera Shavah, so you learn Kapha for what's it called?
The Gamil is Yevu Mineh. No, see, Tyson seems to reverse it. We learn that Yovel from where? Rosh Hashanah. That's what he says. We learn that not Rosh Hashanah from Yovel, but rather we learn that Yovel from Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean? Asher Zach. What do they say? What do the people say? I take a look at the people. I've been looking at the Sefer a long time. It's 1971. Yom Tshuva, which is a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous sefer. He's the one, by the way, who points out, it's called the Kapas Tamarim. It's known as the Kapas Tamarim. And Kapas Tamarim is on Sukkah. And Tzitzis Yom Kippur is the last paragraph of Yuma. And Yom Tshuva is on this last paragraph of Rosh Hashanah. That's what he comments on. He wrote the Kiddush starting from Chav Vav all the way to the 34th paragraph of Rosh Hashanah.
Who wrote it?
Ramashi Ibn Chabiri.
Why do you start it again?
I'm sorry?
Why do you start there?
Why?
I do not know.
I cannot possibly comment.
I really
do not know. I'm sorry. I don't know. He doesn't answer this question. Okay, we have to think about it. To answer the kasha.
Can it just be that it's a weak Zereshah?
I also thought of that, but he doesn't say that. That's not what Tezis says here. I mean, yeah, I don't really see where you see that in Rosh Hashanah.
Is it possible to have
I just want to mention one more thing here in this context of what do you want to say next? Yeah.
The only way I sort of understand it when I did it is that it's a gzera shava and it doesn't necessarily have to be a reason, there's no sorrow for it, and that was it.
The Gemara says, Ein adam dan gzera shava can keep a mirabba. You have to have a maser of gzera shava. You need a Kabbalah.
Right,
you can't be done with gzera shava on your own.
Exactly. If there's a gzera shava, I think the fact that there's a gzera shava, and obviously it's brought down through services in the Gemara, it just overrides the logic necessarily. That was the only way I saw to understand it when we did it.
Nope. I'm not happy with that.
I wasn't happy with it either.
Okay. Is it possible to have a different animal's horns as also bent?
Yeah, I mean, good. I mean, the way the Gemara presents the machlokes is in the Tanna Kamma, there are two machlokes. One machlokes is whether kayef or pashut,
right.
Kaf of a pashut. The second machlokes is, is there a hekesh in Yom Rosh Hashanah as far as the tzur of the shaykh or not? As far as the, what do you call it? The tzur of the shayfa. Shayfa, thank you. That's what Tetzi said at the bottom of the page. Rabbi Omer, he says that everyone really says Roshon Yadol learn that from each other, but that the Indians there, they argue. Okay, it needs attention, this issue. Okay, but see, the Rabbi used to discuss this question of how could a person approach Hashem Yisbarach? How could a finite man, Lilliputian man, approach the infinite Almighty? That's the question. It's a philosophical question that's raised by Nev Sharab, and many of you showed him already asked this question. And the Rav said, it's very dinim in Tfilah, what I told you. The Rav wrote many writings for this. Gadlus Sa'adam, Shifu Sa'adam, one of his favorite topics. You ever read anything about the Rav? Have you ever read anything about the Rav?
No.
No? Why not?
A little.
What did you read from the Rav?
Uses Haggadah or Pesach.
What was that?
Uses Haggadah or Pesach.
Uses Haggadah. Excellent. You went through the whole thing beginning to end.
Parts.
So which part did you go over specifically that you could remember? Do you remember any of it? I'm not questioning you, because it's a beautiful Haggadah.
Avadim Hayinu.
What?
Avadim Hayinu.
Yeah, what did he say there?
Where he said, why did we leave out the words Yamata Ilav and why did we add in Elokeinu?
Oh, yeah. What was the answer?
It's from the Gemara.
Because
you can't quote a pasuk directly, and it says Elokeinu because it's a connection to Hashem. Mm-hmm. It's a connection to Hashem. I remember that.
Well, saying, first of all, why would we wouldn't be saying Be'amar Ta'ila because this is the time when we're responding. This is the so we leave out those words. So you're right. So you can't say the rest of the pasuk. You can't say more than half the pasuk. So we add in a word after Hashem so that it splits it and it's less than half the pasuk that you're quoting. Okay, so why Elokeinu? What?
Okay, just quote the whole thing.
Because it wouldn't make sense to say Be'amar Ta'ila.
Because
that's the point in the Seder where we're responding to the Son. That's the point where the Torah is telling us to say this.
That's what the Love says.
Right.
Okay, it needs more elaboration. But okay, what I'm going to do is I want to maybe a little bit elaborate more on this sugya that we just did now. Namely, the fact that Rashi stresses so much the distinction between Yovel and Shoshana and Tainis. I would like to elaborate on this a little bit. And maybe I'll give you some amikomos for that. And then I want to go further. On the next studio. The reason why I'm doing it this way is because I want to cover ground. My primary Ian, I would like it to be in the last parak when I deal with, even though I'm going to have Ian here also along the way. But I'm primarily interested in dealing with Kiyas Shofar. That's what I want to get to. That's my main interest. I'll spend a lot of time on that big thesis, or rather the small thesis at the end of the Masechta. You probably are familiar with it. Lama Gimel on the days. You know that famous small little thesis, Shia Tru of Shal Shavabas? That's my favorite thesis in Masechta Hashanah, and therefore I will be spending at least a week and a half on that thesis. I hope you'll be able to get down pat the different shittas of Tkiyas Shofar, because that's a complicated area, but there's a lot of lumbus here as well that needs to be addressed. The Meisim Magensa and the Rush and others as well will talk about it. But tomorrow I'll do the following. I'll give you some amikamos, tomorrow being Wednesday. I'll give you some amikamos, and then I would like to cover this next daf, Chazayin all the way to the Mishnah. Won't be a problem for us at all. And then also these Ma'amar Kamos as well. And maybe we'll have to shear a bit earlier, so I'll be able to do that which I wish to do.